Today I was physically feeling a little depressed, but coming here and seeing you all, I am feeling very enlivened. That's the advantage of the association of devotees. Satang prasangan mamo birjasam vidho. Satang prasangan. In the association of devotees, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes manifest. Birja Sambhido, very, very powerful, due to very powerful discussions about the Lord and His pastimes. And as a result of that, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. As a result of that, the Rit, the heart, and the ears become enlivened due to tasting the nectarian discussion about the Lord and His pastimes. So that is what should be the outcome of the association of devotees, discussion about Krishna Katha. So we will start with a little kirtan or bhajan. Just the thought that comes to my mind is Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha Amritam. Tav kathamritam tapto jivanam kobibhiriritam kalmashapaham. Shravana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Jibhurida Jana. Shravana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Jibhurida Jana. Tav kathamritam tapto jivanam kobibhiriritam kalmashapaham. kathamrita takta jivana kobi bhiririta kalma shapaha. Shravana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Jibhurida Jana. Shravana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Jibhurida Jana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tabu katham ritam tapto jivana kobi bhiriritam kalmashapaham. Shravana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Jibhurida Jana. Bhubi grinanti jibhurida jana. Bhubi grinanti jibhurida jana. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam jena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamaiham Dadati swapadantikam. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabdhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Jayatang Surato Pango Mama Manda Mater Gati Matsarvasya Padam Bhojo Radha Madana Mohanam Dibbad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Shrimad Ratnagara Shinghasanastho Shrimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prishthalibhi Sebhamano Smarami Shriman Rasa Rasarambhi Bangshi Vata Tatasthita Karshan Venu Sanair Gopi Gopinatha Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanang Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, the topic that we're going to discuss the next few days is Uddhav Gita. In a way, Uddhav Gita is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has 12 chapters, 12 cantos, and Uddhav Gita is practically the good part of the main part of the 11th canto. From 7th to 29th chapters is Uddhav Gita. There are various other Gitas also. Gita means song, like just now we sang Gopi Geet, the song of the gopis. Similarly, we all are acquainted with Bhagavad Gita, the Gita that Krishna spoke to Arjuna at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Then there is also Bhramar Gita. This way there are various Gita. Uddhav Gita is also known as Hamsa Gita, Paramahamsa Gita. Krishna spoke to Uddhav. Who is Uddhav? Uddhav is considered to be one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. The greatest devotee. Uddhav is Krishna's cousin. And he was very, very attached to Krishna. And he had a very intimate relationship with Krishna. He was Krishna's friend. He was Krishna's counselor, minister. He was Krishna's constant companion. It has been described that Uddhav used to come to Krishna in Dwarka before Krishna woke up. And Krishna, Uddhav would leave Krishna, Uddhav would leave after Krishna fell asleep. So this is how he was with Krishna. This is how intimately he was related to Krishna. He also looked like Krishna. Sarupya, he looked like Krishna. He used to wear the dresses that Krishna left after wearing. So he actually looked exactly like Krishna. He not only physical appearance was like that of Krishna, he used to also dress like Krishna. He used to wear the dresses that Krishna used to dress. That's why at one time Krishna sent Uddhav to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis. The gopis, Krishna got to know that the gopis are feeling intense separation from him. So Krishna told Uddhav, Uddhav, go and pacify them. You tell them that I am so busy here, I can't leave. So you go and make them understand. So when Uddhav arrived, actually Uddhav arrived in the same chariot that Akrura came to take Krishna. So in the same chariot, so in the morning the gopis saw that the chariot was there and they thought Krishna came back. And when they saw Uddhav, they thought, that's Krishna. Krishna came back. The gopis, who were also so intimately related to Krishna, couldn't recognize that Uddhav was not Krishna, or mistook Uddhav to be Krishna. So this is the exalted position of Uddhav. Uddhav was educated or trained by Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. So you can well imagine how wise he was. So that is how intimately or how exalted was Uddhav's position and how intimately he was connected to Krishna. The Jadu boys, the younger boys of the Jadu family, went to pilgrimage, and there they came across the exalted sages. So they decided to make some fun of the sages. Who are those sages? All the exalted sages. Atri. Vasishtha. Narada. Durvasa. So they wanted to make fun of them. So they dressed up Samba like a pregnant woman. And they took him to those sages. And maybe they took a pillow and tied it up around his belly, dressed him up in a sari, and took him to the sages as a pregnant woman and asked, "Can you please tell me whether he will give birth to a boy or a girl?" Sages, and they are Trikala Darshi, they can see the three aspects of time: Bhut, Bhavishyat and Vartaman. So they naturally knew what was happening. So they cursed. That he'll give birth to something that will destroy your whole family. Entire Jadu family will be destroyed. And then they found that what was around Samba's belly was a mess, a club, iron club. So they all became very worried and afraid. So they went and reported to the elders of the family, Ugrasen and others, what has happened. So Ugrasen suggested that immediately destroy this club. So they took that to the ocean and they're rubbing it on a stone, pulverizing it by rubbing. So the powder from the iron particles, the powders from the mess, settled on the ocean bank and they became some seaweeds. Seaweeds, they're just hollow inside. You can, by pressing them with your finger, you can smash them. And the last part that they could not rub off, this thin little part of the steel, they threw it in the ocean. It was actually all Krishna's arrangement. And Krishna then told the Jadus that the Brahmana's curse is going to come in a certain way, so you will leave Dwarka and go to Prabhash. So you know what happened after that. So they went there, the Jadus, and there they drank wine. And then they started to fight among themselves. They pulled out those seaweeds and with that they started to fight with each other. And they killed each other. So these are the amazing things about Krishna's pastimes. The warriors that could withstand hundreds of arrows piercing their bodies and they don't become affected but continue to fight. Such powerful ones. They fought with each other with these seaweeds, sticks, like, which is hollow inside, completely. Even a child can smash it. Fighting with that, they killed each other. Whole Jodhu dynasty was annihilated in this way. And the last bit, that iron piece that could not be pulverized, thin little iron piece that was swallowed by a fish. The fish was sold in the market. And the fisherman, when he cut the fish's belly, he found that piece of iron steel. And he sold it. And a hunter bought that. With the thin piece of iron, he made an arrow. Who was that hunter? The hunter was Jara. And when he was hunting in the forest, where Krishna was lying under a tree, he saw Krishna's feet sticking out, and he thought that to be an hare, a rabbit, and he shot. So the arrow hit Krishna's foot. And understanding is, Krishna died by being hit by that arrow of a hunter. So this is another thing. Krishna, actually in the battlefield, when he was driving Arjuna's chariot, he had to take, as a charioteer, he had to take so many arrows. The arrows were meant to be to hit Arjuna, but Krishna also took those arrows. So much so that Krishna's whole body was actually pierced with arrows. In South India, near Madras, there is a temple of Parthasarathi. There's a deity of Krishna. The understanding is, after battle of Kurukshetra, Parthasarathi came there. Krishna came there. And the murti actually has the holes throughout the body, indicating that Krishna's whole body was pierced with arrows. And those arrows were not just some insignificant arrow of a hunter. Those arrows were coming from Maharathis and Rathis. Nothing happened to Krishna. But Krishna is now died, apparently, just by being hit by a hunter. So this is how we have to understand Krishna's pastimes are arranged or organized. In some amazing way, the pastimes take its turn. Like the Jadus fighting among themselves with some seaweeds, the entire Jadu family were destroyed. Krishna left his body being hit by an arrow of a hunter. The point is, Krishna brought the Jadus to take part in his pastimes here. And his mission was accomplished. So now he is going back to the spiritual world. So before leaving, he arranged for the Jadus to go back to the spiritual world. First the Jadus went back, then Krishna went back, Balaram went back. So that's why this understanding of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's appearance and Krishna's disappearance, and Krishna's activities are very, very strange. So it's difficult to understand. But those who understand what happens, janma karma chame divyam, evam javetti tattvataha, takta dehang punar janma naiti mameti shvarjuna. One who understands that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities, janma and karma, divyam, divine, transcendental, they are not due to the results of karmic reactions, like in our case. They are Krishna's manifestation of Jogamaya due to Krishna's own sweet will. So that is the thing that the devotees can understand. Non-devotees cannot. Non-devotee means those who do not want to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are the non-devotees. Those who don't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since they don't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot recognize Krishna's amazing activities. They think Krishna's birth is like our birth. Krishna's birth is like ordinary person's birth, and Krishna's death also is like ours. But ajo nitya shashvata. Krishna is aja, Krishna is unborn. Krishna is subjected to the laws of this material nature. That understanding is what makes a devotee a devotee. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you look at Krishna in that way, then we can recognize that how nothing is impossible for Krishna. Krishna lifted, at the age of 7 years, lifted Govardhan Hill, one whole mountain. A materialistic people will think that, how is it possible? It's just a story. It's a fairy tale. Mythology. But a devotee's understanding is, Krishna can make innumerable universes float in the space, not even touching them, just by his will. Just his glance makes the material nature become manifest. Just he glances towards the material nature and the whole material nature becomes manifest. So for that Krishna to lift a hill, what's the big surprise? That is the attitude of a devotee. A classic example of that is, once Narad Muni came to the earth, there was a yogi who had been meditating for so long that there has been an anthill around his body. Been meditating for so many years. So he asked Narad Muni, when you go to Vaikuntha, can you please ask the Lord when he will deliver me? So Narad Muni said, okay, I will ask him. Then Narad Muni came across one cobbler who is stitching shoes. So the cobbler also was very excited to see Narad Muni. And he also asked Narad Muni, will you please ask the Lord when he will remember me? Narad Muni said, okay, I'll ask. So Narad Muni came back again. So the yogi asked Narad Muni, did you ask the Lord? Narad Muni said, yes, I did. Oh, how long, when will he take me back to the spiritual world? Yeah, he said he will take one, you have to come back one time again, once again. Another birth you have to take. So, Narad Muni, so the yogi got very upset. And he started to tell Narad Muni, did you really go to Vaikuntha and ask him, I have to come another time? Don't you see how severely I have been performing this austerity? There is an anthill around my body. And you are still saying that Lord will take, I have to come one more time. So Narad Muni said, well, what can I say? The Lord only said that. So he said, did you really meet the Lord? Tell me what he was doing in Vaikuntha at that time. Narad Muni said, oh, he was doing some amazing thing. He was passing the elephants through the eye of a needle. Say, what? Passing an elephant through the eye of a needle? How is it possible? I thought as well, you never been to Vaikuntha. You're simply lying. And Narad Muni left. He came to the cobbler. Oh, Narad Muni, did you ask the Lord when he'll remember me? Yes, I did. Oh, when? After you take birth as many times as there are the leaves in this tamarind tree. So the cobbler started to dance. Tamarind tree has literally millions of leaves. One leaf of a tamarind tree has about 100 small leaves. So you can well imagine. But the cobbler started to dance. Oh, at least someday the Lord will remember me. Someday the Lord will remember me. So Narad Muni said, did you believe in that? Do you know what the Lord was doing when I went there at that time? Yes, please tell me what the Lord was doing. The Lord was passing elephants through the eye of a needle. And he started to dance even more ecstatically. Oh, see how wonderful the Lord is. He was passing elephants through the eyes of needles. Narad Muni said, could you believe that? How is it possible to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? You know, eye of a needle means the little hole that is there at the back of a needle. He said, why not? And he picked up a tamarind seed. And he said, if the Lord can put the whole tree inside this seed, what's so difficult for him to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? And guess what happened at that time? All the leaves from the tamarind tree fell off. The chariot came from Vaikuntha to take that cobbler back to Vaikuntha. So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee does not recognize the inconceivable potency or ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas a devotee, he knows everything about the Lord is wonderful. So that is the meaning of the word tattvataha, evang javetti tattvataha. The one who knows Krishna in truth, in reality. Evang javetti tattvataha. takta deham. When a devotee leaves his body, he doesn't have to come back again in this world. So that opportunity we all got by Srila Prabhupada's mercy to become devotees. To be a devotee means to recognize Krishna the way he is, tattvataha, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his inconceivable potency, achinta shakti, achintya, inconceivable. So, devotees only can recognize that, can understand that. And the result of becoming a devotee is takta deham punarjanma naiti mameti swarjana. When we leave our bodies, we don't have to come back again. But those who want to come back again and again, be careful about coming close to ISKCON. Because you lose that opportunity to come back again. I'm saying it because there is a Bengali poetry. The poet is saying, I do not want to die in this beautiful world. Morite chahina ami sundar bhubane. I do not want to die in this beautiful world. Okay, if you don't want to die, you can't avoid dying. But by the Lord's mercy, you'll come back again. But be careful in which way you may come back. What if you come back as a cockroach? What if you come back as an insect? What if you come back as a tree? What if you come back as an animal? And look at your life in this world as a human being. You're suffering constantly. Your life is full of misery. So why become so attached to this material nature? Those who remain attached to the material nature, they are in maya, they are in ignorance. They are under the illusory influence of the Lord's illusory energy. So, first of all, we have to recognize who Krishna is. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the purpose of this kind of discussions is to reconfirm our faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that happens only in the association of devotees. We recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we recognize that, then again, we don't have to come back again to this material nature. So, Krishna just told all the Jadus that a dangerous time is coming. So be prepared. So leave Dwarka. So after Krishna advised the senior members of the Jadu dynasty, then Uddhav approached Krishna and told Krishna, Krishna, I can presume, I can guess that you are going to withdraw your pastimes here. You are going to go back to the spiritual world. So please take me also with you. I do not want to stay here after you leave." Then Krishna advised Uddhav, "No, Uddhav, you have to stay here. You have to stay here for some time." Why? Why does Krishna want his devotees to stay? Because Krishna wants them to distribute Krishna consciousness, make others into devotees. That's why Krishna advises them to stay, or Krishna sends them to this material nature. So Krishna told Uddhav, and he told that when he leaves, that there will be, the situation of this world is going to become very, very critical. So he should leave everything and take sannyas. Leave everything, just walk away. Keep on traveling. Keep on moving from one place to another. Then Uddhav told Krishna, "To accept sannyas order is very difficult. Unless and until one is properly situated in knowledge, one cannot renounce. Because behind renunciation, there must be proper knowledge. After jnana comes vairagya. Renunciation, vairagya, is the outcome of jnana, knowledge." So he requested Krishna to advise him with transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge that Krishna imparted is this Uddhav Gita. So then Krishna started to. At first, Krishna made it clear to him that this material nature is a very difficult place to be in. Material nature is a place of suffering. No matter how beautiful a body you have, no matter how healthy a body you have, no matter how famous a body you have, no matter how learned body you have, no matter how talented a body you have, this body is a source of suffering. This body, no matter whatever condition this body is, it's actually meant for suffering. And this suffering is due to one's forgetfulness of one's spiritual identity. As a matter of fact, every living entity is a spirit soul. But in this material nature, upon getting this body, one thinks that this body is the self and he doesn't have any awareness of his soul. He thinks that his consciousness comes from the body, his consciousness is solely into this body and through the body. But the knowledge is to understand the soul is the source of consciousness. I am because I am conscious. I am because I think. I am because I feel. My existence is due to my thinking and feeling. And this thinking and feeling is the result of our consciousness. I am conscious, therefore I think. I am conscious, therefore I feel. My thinking and my feeling are the product of my consciousness. And where does the consciousness come from? Consciousness, chetna, comes from the soul. So the soul is actual me. And that soul is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as long as one has the tendency to enjoy in this material nature, one cannot make spiritual advancement. In order to make spiritual advancement, we have to become disgusted with this existence here. But then if we come across a bona fide teacher who gives us the knowledge, who tells me the difference between the body and the soul, then only I become situated in my spiritual identity. And then further knowledge leads us to Krishna. The further knowledge engages us in being service to Krishna. And the devotional service makes us a devotee. And when one becomes a devotee, then for him, this body is not a source of suffering. For a devotee, this body becomes an opportunity to serve Krishna. I have this body, that's why I am able to render service to Krishna. So he engages his body in the service of Krishna. So that is how, for a devotee, even his existence in the material nature doesn't become a source of suffering. When one becomes a devotee, then his life becomes joyful, because he doesn't see this body as a source of enjoyment, but a source of service. So, initially that is what Krishna reminded Uddhav, the importance of becoming a devotee. No one can become free from the bondage, suffering condition of the material nature. In order to become free from the suffering condition of the material nature, one has to become connected to Krishna. And the way to become connected to Krishna, only through devotion, not by any other means. Krishna pointed out, no Sankhya, no yoga, no austerity, no penance, no any of these activities is not going to help us to become connected to Krishna. Through the process of yoga, through the process of knowledge, jnana, and austerities and penances, as we saw in the case of the yogi, he had to come back once again. Why? Because as a yogi, he couldn't go back to the spiritual world. In order to go back to the spiritual world, one has to become a devotee. So it's only the devotees that can go back to the spiritual world, nobody else. Without developing our relationship with Krishna, we cannot go back to the spiritual world. And the only way to develop our relationship with Krishna is through devotion. That is the most important thing that we all have to understand. That this is the only way. This is the only way. No other way can take us back to the spiritual world. So that is the prerogative, or that is the ultimate goal of life, to become a devotee of the Lord. That's why devotion has been considered to be the ultimate goal of life, purushartha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Religiosity, meaning abiding by the laws that have been given by Krishna, will lead to artha, accumulation of wealth. And due to wealth, artha, calm, we can fulfill our desires. And even after fulfilling all our desires, when you are still not satisfied, then moksha, liberation, get out of this place which is full of suffering. But that is not the ultimate goal. Moksha is not the ultimate goal. Beyond moksha is bhakti. Beyond mukti is bhakti. Therefore, bhakti has been considered to be the fifth objective of life, pancham purushartha, prema pumartha mahan. The ultimate goal of life is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. So, in this way, Krishna prepared Uddhava, or Krishna is imparting this knowledge to us to prepare ourselves. Before Krishna starts to give his advice. And then Krishna told that Jadu, his forefather, King Jadu, once came across an abadhuta. And abadhuta means a person who doesn't have any external consciousness. External consciousness means conscious of our surroundings. So when one becomes fully engrossed in spiritual activities, then his consciousness is withdrawn internally. He doesn't have any external consciousness at that time. Like an example of abadhut is Rishabhdev. He was a king. He gave up his kingdom and he started to wandering around. But the way he was wandering around, he did not have any external consciousness. He was not conscious whether he was wearing any cloth. He was not conscious where he was lying down. He was not conscious whether he took his bath. Like totally unconscious of his, of the external surrounding. His thing is, the body's activities are going on. Body's activities will go on due to our karmic reactions. But the soul is completely absorbed in Krishna, Krishna's presence, meaning Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities internally. So when one reaches that stage, he doesn't have any external consciousness. Another such abadhuta is Nityananda Prabhu. Apparently he's like a madman, especially when he was wandering around before. And even when he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his activities were totally unpredictable. So this is the identity of an abadhut. So King Jadu came across one abadhuta, and recognizing his exalted position, Jadu asked him to give him some advice. And King Jadu, then the abadhuta, started to tell him that he got this knowledge from his spiritual master. spiritual masters. And first he considered there are 24 spiritual masters. 24 spiritual masters. So this is an important thing that we must understand, that an advanced stage of our spiritual development, we do not consider that only the Diksha Guru is the only Guru. At a neophyte stage, one thinks that my Diksha Guru is my only Guru. Then his understanding expands and he sees the Shiksha Gurus. And there are many such Shiksha Gurus from whom one can actually receive Shiksha or knowledge, instructions. And here we can see in the case of this Abhidhuta, the way the concept of his Shiksha Guru expanded. He is talking about 24 Shiksha Gurus that he learned something from. Those 24 Shiksha Gurus are, first, earth. He learned from earth. Then, water. He learned from water. I will get into the details afterwards. I'll just first identify these all 24 gurus that Abhidhuta accepted or learned so much from them. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, sky, moon, sun. He's saying that he learned something from a pigeon. A pigeon is his guru. A python, a snake, python is his guru. Ocean, a moth, a butterfly, a moth that becomes a butterfly, learn something from him. Then two types of bees, bumblebee and honeybee. He learned something from an elephant. He learned something from a honey thief. The person who takes the beehives, steals the honey from the beehive. Honey thief. He learned something from a deer. He learned something from a fish. He learned something from a prostitute, Pingala. He learned something from a bird, Kurura bird, buzzard. He learned something from a foolish, lazy boy. He learned from a young girl. He learned from a snake, from a serpent. He learned from an arrow maker, a person who makes arrows. He learned something from a spider. He learned something from a weak insect. Weak insect, when it's attacked by a powerful insect, then that insect takes up the shape of that. Out of fear, takes up the shape of that other insect. Out of fear, he becomes that other insect. So these are the 24 gurus that Abhidhuta had. It's very important to understand this as the very practically the beginning of Krishna's instruction to Uddhava. There is something to learn from everybody. There is something to learn from everything. Provided our eyes are open, provided our hearts are open. That is what spiritual life is. This is how we see Krishna everywhere. Sthabar jangam dekhe, na dekhe tar murti, sarvatra sphuraye tar ishtadev sphurti. A devotee, a pure devotee, he sees sthabar, means non-moving things like trees, mountains, sthabar, and jangam, moving. Moving things. Not only a man, animal, bird, reptile, insects, worms. So these are all the moving things. A devotee do not see the non-moving and moving things. Non-moving and moving entities. Wherever he sees his worshipable Lord. Sarvatra sphurayatar ishtadeva sphurti. He sees his worshipable Lord. Now, this is actually an indication how one sees Krishna everywhere. How, by seeing different things where he can learn, and from everything actually he can learn about Krishna, and because he is teaching him or giving him Krishna, he is accepting that as a guru. He's learning something from an insect. Oh, this insect is my guru. He is learning something from a pigeon. This pigeon is my guru. He is learning something from the earth. This earth is my guru. And how they are reminding. How they are reminding. Is, say for example, what is learning from a young girl? I'll briefly mention that. Once a young girl was alone at home, all the other members of the family happened to go be out. But at that time, incidentally, some suitors came, like some person came to marry her. So the guests came, so they have to be treated. So she went to prepare food for them. So while preparing food, she had to make the rice powder. So she was making the rice powder. And she had bangles in both hands. So when she was pounding, making the rice powder, the bangles were clashing against each other and making sound. So this girl thought, oh, if these people hear the sound, they'll think that we are so poor that we can't afford a maid servant. I am doing it myself. So in order to not make that sound, so what she did, she broke all the bangles. But a young girl should have at least one bangle. Young girls are supposed to have bangles in hand. So she just kept only one bangle in each hand. Then there was no sound. So what lesson did the Abhidhut learn from that? If you want to cultivate Krishna consciousness properly, remain alone. Because even if there are even two persons, there'll be gossip or quarrel. So remain alone. See? Because his heart is completely fixed on Krishna, he's simply thinking what will be conducive to Krishna consciousness and what will not be conducive to Krishna consciousness. And that's what he is learning from his guru. So, a young girl is a guru. He learned something from the young girl. So in this way, he had 24 such gurus. So anyway, so we will discuss about that, what they learned, what he learned from these 24 gurus afterwards. At least one we discuss now. We'll discuss about 23 others in the next session. Okay, now I'll open the session for questions. If anybody has any question, you can ask. You can either raise your hands or you can write something on a piece of paper and send it to me. Is there any question? So there is a question from Brajendra Krishna Das. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. As you mentioned that without developing our loving relationship with Krishna, we cannot go back to Godhead. So what is the general destination of parents of a pure devotee of Krishna? If parents are not the devotees of Krishna, okay, then the children, the son who become a pure devotee, will make an appeal to Krishna. Please make my parents into a devotee and bring them back to you. So, or somehow or other, he will drag them up there in the spiritual world. So Golokeshwar Das, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Could you please narrate pastimes of disappearance of Lord Balaram? Let us stick to the topic of today's discussion. Like try to make the questions pertaining to the today's discussion. Not through the question you open up another class. Who is Golokeshwar? Where is Golokeshwar? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Can you please stand up so that everybody can see you? Yeah.
You mentioned that as long as a devotee enjoys this material world, he cannot make spiritual advancement.
Yes.
So, as devotee of ISKCON, we enjoy everything very much because everything is dovetailed in Krishna's service. Even this monsoon rain, we're realizing and appreciating the water that we will get in the future.
So you have accepted monsoon rain to be a guru?
Yes. Okay. So can you comment about this guru advancement of ISKCON?
ISKCON means be a devotee. ISKCON means a devotee. A devotee, anukullasya sankalpa pratikullasya vivarjanam. He accepts everything that is favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejects whatever is unfavorable. So any situation, he takes it in the light of Krishna consciousness. By main thing is, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we became devotees. Right? Otherwise, we couldn't have become devotees. We have to recognize that it's simply due to the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we are here. We got this wonderful opportunity. Now let's take full advantage of this opportunity. Yes, in ISKCON we are having a wonderful opportunity. Everything we are getting is helping us in spiritual advancement. Association of devotees, opportunity to chant and dance in the association of devotees, listening to discourses on Krishna's instructions and pastimes, opportunity to take Krishna prasad, opportunity to come to a temple and have the darshan of the deities. Yeah, in ISKCON we are getting all these wonderful opportunities. So take full advantage of it. That is the important thing, that to take full advantage. And that's why we make these sessions. We generally tend to forget the goal of our life. But in this kind of situations, we are reminded, what's the goal of life? Otherwise, especially the householders, when they are entangled in the household activities, they tend to forget the goal of life. Although initiated, I see so many devotees drift away. So many devotees, after taking the vow of chanting 16 rounds every day, don't chant. Give up chanting. What to speak of breaking the four regulative principles? Now, this is very, very unfortunate. Coming so close to the opportunity of going back to Godhead, we are missing out on that. Who is asking that question? Yes?
You mentioned that by the Yangarma we learn that we should practice Krishna consciousness by alone. But Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that by the only association of the devotee, our Krishna consciousness is easy to go ahead.
Yeah, very good. Very good point.
So, kindly just discuss about that.
So, yes, when we are weak, we should not dare to stay alone, because then we'll fall into Maya. So we should remain in the association of devotees, because that gives us a protection. But this is one thing that the Abadhut learned. In our case, it is different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, mind you, this instruction came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the process. This instruction Krishna is giving in Dwapar Yuga. But in Kali Yuga we are so fallen, we are so weak, that we cannot practice Krishna consciousness alone. So to be on the safe side, we should remain in the association of devotees. And the process for this age is Sankirtan, collective, many of us together. But at the same time, internally remain alone. Do not become affected by the surrounding. Do not indulge in gossip. Do not indulge in quarrel. But just practice your Krishna consciousness with singular attention. That is how we have to take this instruction. Okay, quite a few questions came, so I'll just answer them. I won't take any more questions apart from that. So one is Amit. Okay, Amit Sharma from Gurgaon. Thank you, Amit. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. We have learned from Bharat Maharaj story that we should not live alone, and young girl story, we should live alone. So please clear doubt. So you got the answer from my last answer? Right? Like we should remain alone internally. Right? Meaning not get affected by the surrounding. But remain in the association of devotees to protect our spiritual life. A cultivator, say for example, when you are chanting your rounds, will you chant alone, although you are sitting, maybe with 100 other devotees? Where is your consciousness? Are you not alone? Yes, that is the meaning. When you are rendering your devotional service, when you are practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, remain alone. Now see, when you are listening to the class, aren't you alone? Like being with others means communicating with others. Clashing of the bangles are touching with each other. No, remain away, aloof from that. That is the meaning of being alone. Alright? So it's both achinta bheda bheda. Internally remain alone. Externally remain in the association of devotees. Okay? Apurva Gopal Das. Okay. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for the wonderful class. You mentioned in the class there is something to learn from everything and everywhere. And this is how we see Krishna everywhere. But we see that currently we are not on that platform. How can we receive that platform of consciousness? Good question. So there is a consideration of elevating in our spiritual life, advancing in our spiritual life, right? When this is the state of an advanced devotee, very advanced devotee. So, but we may not be so advanced now. But let's try to become advanced. And when you become advanced, then we'll come to that situation. Right? Okay? So there are three stages of devotion. Neophyte stage, clearing stage, pure stage. So at a neophyte stage, we are trying to become fixed up. We're trying to chant the holy name without offense. Then our chanting becomes clearing from the offense. And then pure chanting. So these are the criteria for our spiritual status. Offensive chanting, neophyte stage. Clearing stunt chanting, advanced stage. And pure chanting, pure devotee stage. Shakshi Madhav Das. Okay. If alone one can be in Krishna consciousness, then he will fall without association. Practice, what's that? Oh, Prochetas, austerity. Okay, let's see. Please, Lord, because they were doing in group. How can we? Anyway, I have been answering the questions. It's clear? Premarupa Das. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, lesson from girl is to remain alone. So it's the same question. Good that this question is coming up because we have to seriously recognize our state. and what we should do. Main thing is, again, I'll reiterate that point, that don't be in a situation where you are with others to gossip or quarrel. Don't be in that situation. If associate being in presence with others are going to lead you to gossip or quarrel, stay away from that association. Rather be away from that association than there. Now in this way we can consider negative association, no association, positive association. Alright? So what he is saying is give up the negative association. Then you are alone. But then you are in positive association. Then you are with devotees. Alright? Negative, alone, positive. He is talking about remaining alone from negative association. Association that will lead to negative association means association that will lead to gossip and quarrel. But the association that will inspire us to chant, yes, we will always be in that association. And when you go back to spiritual world, we won't be alone there. The spiritual world is full of pure devotees. So do you want to be alone there? No. Okay, next one is Sumohan Chaitanya Das. Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet. My question is, you told that for spiritual advancement we have to remain alone. Okay. Good. So one example brought so many questions, yeah. Just one out of 24 gurus. See, so much you are learning. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Binay Gauranga Das, Nasik. Where is Binay Gauranga? Okay, Hare Krishna. Adarnaya Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Bahut baar kaha jata hai ki bhav kya bhakti bhavnik, acha emotionally nahi karne par karte chahiye. Kripaya Guru Maharaj, matlab kya hai?
Guru Maharaj ji, satsang mein kaha jata hai ki bhakti bhavnik nahi honi chahiye, aap bhakti pe bhavnik tarah se mat dekho, to iska mujhe kabhi jawab nahi mil paya.
भावनिक तरह से मतलब
इमोशन.
नो, स्पिरिचुअल इमोशन इज देयर. इमोशन के कारण नाते भक्त लोग रोते हैं, गाते हैं, नाचते हैं. तो इमोशन शायद भौतिक इमोशन नहीं होना चाहिए. जैसे ये होता है ना, भौतिक मतलब दिखावट नहीं होना चाहिए, हार्दिक होना चाहिए. ठीक है, जो भावना जो है वो हार्दिक होना चाहिए. मतलब अगर आंसू आते हैं आंखों में अपने बच्चे के लिए आंसू नहीं आना चाहिए, कृष्ण के लिए आंसू आना चाहिए. कृष्ण के लिए आंसू कब होगी? जब दिल में भक्ति का प्रबलता इतना होता होगा कि कृष्ण का प्रभाव अपना दिल में इतना अनुभव होता है कि आंखों से ऐसे ही आंसू बहने लगता है. ये दो ये हैं, एक है भौतिक और एक है आध्यात्मिक. ये जो भौतिक जो क्रिया है उसके आधार पर नहीं होना चाहिए. हरे कृष्णा. सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद. गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल.